Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Mud Toe at Midnight. I am your host, Mud Toe Sasquatch. I have played my flute and I have offered sacred fire in the four directions. Please join me in sacred ceremony. I speak as spirit moves me to speak, and I invite you to do the same by calling me at 646-595-3440. And now, Mud Toe at Midnight.
Hey! Well, thank you. Thank you for joining me tonight. So pleased to hear that reaction. I still don't not getting this crowd cheering thing the way I want it. Mainly because I don't have any control about what sound effects appear on this screen, which ones don't. So maybe I should just leave it alone and talk the way I usually do, huh? Thank you once again for joining me. Actually, I think that's the first time I thanked you tonight. So now I'll thank you once again. This is Mud Toe at Midnight. I am your genial host, Mud Toe Sasquatch. Usually at this point I would thank you for joining me, but I've already done that twice. It's a high energy night here at Mud Toe Studios. There's a party going on next door. I don't think you can hear it because of the fans I have running, because we have no climate control here in Mud Toe Studios. So best I can do is have a small fan blowing on me. I tried to have a large fan blowing on me, but it interfered with the microphone and made some strange things happen. It would overwhelm my voice, and my voice would cut out and so forth. So we must suffer for our art. So here I am, suffering for you. But thank you, but also grateful for you being here. I may still have this up on my Facebook. I had seen a posting someone, here it is. Get this up here. Let me read this to you. This is a posting I saw. This is one of these, I don't know what you call this, it's a graphic posting. There's no picture on it. It's just text against a background, but it's not. I differentiate it from a text, a post that somebody typing it in the little box. This is something in a graphic form that this person got from somebody else, more than likely. It says, next time you complain about the price of gas, stop and be thankful you own a car. Next time you complain about a messy house, stop and give thanks you have a family to make the mess. Next time you complain about your boss, stop and give thanks that you have a job. Live each day with an attitude of gratitude, and you will be on your way to a happier life. And it says the quote is from davewillis.org. That's W-I-L-L-I-S. Dave Willis is all one word. davewillis.org. And I can't argue with sentiment, obviously. Well, I could, but I'm not going to. Gratitude, attitude of gratitude is a very important element of the 12-step process, among other things. But reading this, I can't help but, with my cynical mind, I can't help but perceive it in some other way. And what I wrote to the person who posted it, I wrote, at the risk of seeming negative, because I always want to preface it that way, because I have been accused of excess negativity, and I've lost Facebook friends over that. So I always preface, it's kind of like, I guess it's kind of like that when a basketball player throws his arms straight up in the air and say, I didn't commit a foul, you know. Well, I guess that's the way I would say, at the risk of seeming negative, I've somehow managed to call off the fact that I was negative. But I do it, and maybe it works, maybe it doesn't, I don't know. But what I said was, at the risk of seeming negative, it seems that Mr. Willis is doing publicity for the 1%. What I mean is, you know, next time you complain about the price of gas, stop and be thankful you own a car. Does that mean, yes, I can be thankful that I own a car, but I can also be upset that we're being gouged on the price of gasoline. Complaining about it, that one's a little bit light, the messy house one. Complain about your boss, stop and give thanks you have a job. That's a very 1% type. That's an almost a Donald Sterling level kind of capitalist arrogance there. I don't know who Dave Willis is. Perhaps I should have researched that a bit before I started in with this. But, tell you what, let's have a look. DaveWillis.org. D-A-V-E-I-L-I-S.org. And here he comes. Dave Willis, Tools for Your Life, Caffeine for Your Soul. And he's on here with a lovely lady. We can join his email list. Looks like he does some public, does some speaking. And what does this? One of the most fulfilling aspects of my life. Oh, he's speaking to us in first person. One of the most fulfilling aspects of my life is the privilege I have to encourage people through speaking, teaching, and preaching. So preacher slash motivational speaker. Okay, that seems to fit. It also dovetails into what I was going to speak about tonight, mainly. He's got some other people that he works with. Okay, I think we've got everything there is to get, at least on one. It's one of those websites, and this may be the way my computer is set up, too. It's got one of these websites that you can't see the whole thing. I'm clicking on it, and the pages are changing, but I really can't tell because I can only see the very top of it, and that part of the page never changes. All right, so let's get out of DaveWillis.org, and I want to look at let's not do that. At the risk of not getting to it, which is what usually happens when I decide not to do something right away, the other thing I had up to talk to today, and this kind of feeds into what I've been at this temporary job I've been doing, grading standardized tests, high-stakes standardized tests, by which I mean graduation tests. You got to pass it to graduate high school. And this whole operation operates under a veil of secrecy. We are not permitted to speak about what it is we're doing. The excuse being that someone might hear this and that would give them an advantage, some sort of advantage in taking the test. And I guess I'm down with that. So I won't talk specific about any of our procedures or anything like that. One thing I will say is that some of my coworkers, not all, but a few. Let me describe this. Actually, I probably shouldn't say this, but we do sit in front of computer screens and do this. The papers come up one at a time, and it's just the papers that the students have to write some sort of answer, short essay, short answer. Because the ones that are multiple choice, the computer does those, the Scantron does those. Have you ever seen one of those Scantrons? But I actually got to see one of those Scantrons work one time. They just feed these things in and just snap, 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 and it does. Human beings don't have to exist. Scantron could run everything. But anyway, they've added some questions to a lot of these high-stake tests now where the kid has to write an answer. So and that's the job we're doing. Somebody writes it, somebody has to read it. So we read it, and we're given a set of criteria by which to evaluate it, and I won't go any further than that. Occasionally, one of my coworkers in amongst these rows of computer monitors will see something and they will laugh out loud. They will LOL at whatever it is they saw on the screen. Now, occasionally a student will say something kind of clever, will turn a clever phrase, or just in frustration with the whole testing process, which I can certainly understand, will say something about the test that's kind of clever. And I can see that. But I think what happens more often is the person is just bemused by the poor quality of the student's grammar, or interesting choice of words, let's say. And in one room where I was working, they move us around. In one room where I was working, I guess I shouldn't have disclosed that. I got to stop this. I'm starting to disclose confidential stuff now. That's a procedure, and I just spoke about it, and I'm not supposed to do that. But anyway, one of the rooms had a supervisor who would collect these things. When something would come up and somebody would go, ha, 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 and he would go investigate it. And then at the end of the day, he would give his hit list. And he would say, this student said this strange thing, and everybody would laugh. I don't think it's appropriate to do that in a situation where the student is doing their best, perhaps haven't had the access to the resources that some of us upper middle class or formerly upper middle class people had when we were doing our education. I just don't think it's right. And as the supervisor is a gentleman personally I like very much. I didn't say anything to him personally, face to face, and perhaps I should have because I wrote it on his evaluation. But anyway, just wanted to share that. Well, I think there's this next piece of information I can very safely share with you, because it's, one of the things we've been grading have been questions regarding the U.S. Constitution, which, you know, makes total sense. I mean, that's the students take government class. Of course, they're going to have to answer questions about the Constitution. So I don't think I'm giving anything away that's going to give anyone an unfair advantage. Specifically here recently, we've been seeing a lot of items about the various amendments to the Constitution. As I'm saying this, I'm realizing I'm absolutely forgotten where I wanted to go with this. I know it had something to do with amendments, because I have it up here. I came on Wikipedia, and I called up the amendments to the U.S. Constitution, and they've got this whole big thing here, each amendment called out one by one in chronological order, 1 through 27, and each one described. And then they even have a table here that tells you which states ratified each amendment and which one didn't. So if you want to look on somebody to pick on, that they never ratified the amendment that abolished slavery. Let's see if we can find that. Amendment number 13 abolishes slavery and involuntary servitude except as punishment for a crime. Now, that's interesting. I guess they wanted to keep the workhouse in place. That was passed by Congress on January 31st, 1865, and ratified December 6th, 1865. So it was on the table for 10 months and 6 days. And if you've forgotten your government classes, what happens is the Congress approves a potential amendment to the Constitution, but then the individual states have to vote for it, and I believe it's two-thirds. Is it two-thirds or is it three-fourths? A supermajority of the states have to individually approve it before it becomes part of the Constitution. And until very recently, there was no time limit placed on these amendments. The 27th Amendment was on the table for 202 years before it was finally, it was proposed on September 25th, 1789, and finally approved the last state that needed to, the last number that they need. I think it's 34. Am I remembering that right? You have to have 34 states to approve an amendment. Let me see if it's up here. Only a fraction of those, not framers of the Constitution. Two-thirds, presently 34 of the states. Become part of the Constitution, adopt an amendment must be ratified by either the legislatures of three-fourths. Now this is contradicting that. The legislature, to become a part of the Constitution, an adopted amendment must be ratified. Oh, okay, there's two ways to do it. If you go to a national convention called by Congress, or the application of the legislatures of two-thirds of the states. Okay, so it takes two-thirds to call a national convention. It takes three-fourths to ratify the amendment. So after that little excursion, to get to number 38 took 200 years. But they finally got it. And that amendment is the one that says that Congress can't vote itself a pay raise. I mean, if they vote a pay raise, it doesn't take effect until the next Congress comes in. And I remember when that happened, too, and there was a big debate over whether the 202 years that they waited. But we were going to check Amendment 13 and see who was on the yes list for that. So here we go. I'm on the seeing all yeses so far. Nebraska. Nebraska has never ratified the 13th Amendment. Okay, here they are. I'm just going to name them off. Nebraska, Colorado, North Dakota, South Dakota, Montana, Washington, Idaho, Wyoming, Utah, Oklahoma. A lot of these are Western states that probably came in after that. But it's interesting that they never saw the need to just at least formally ratify it. Oklahoma, New Mexico, Arizona, of course. Alaska and Hawaii have never ratified it. So there you are. Most of those states have never ratified the Bill of Rights. One would think that would be a requirement for becoming a state, wouldn't you? That you'd have to ratify the Bill of Rights just as an exercise, just to show you know how to ratify things, that you got the skills that are necessary to be a state. And then here's a list of unratified amendments. As I'm doing this, I'm trying to remember exactly what it was I wanted to speak about. But I absolutely cannot remember. Cannot remember why. Maybe it had something to do with that amendment. Oh, okay, here it is. There's one. This is the Corwin Amendment, which has never been ratified. It's been pending since March 2, 1861, so before the Civil War. It says, would make the state's domestic institutions, and then they have in parenthesis slavery, impervious to the constitutional amendment procedures established in Article 5. So this is one of those attempts where they've tried to put something above the Constitution. This happens from time to time. It most recently happened with Obamacare, but in the opposite direction, where they tried to make a law that would say that, what was it, but it couldn't be amended. That's what it was, that couldn't be amended at all. So here's one saying that you couldn't make any law that would change slavery. Obviously, Corwin must have been a Southerner or someone who liked slavery. Get a sip of my liquid refreshment here. Hold on. I'm with Boylan Black Cherry Soda today, made with cane sugar. And I didn't get paid to say that, although certainly if they wanted to pay me to say that, I would be open to it. Equal Rights Amendment still sitting out there. And then that is actually one that officially failed because they had given a time limit. They put a time limit on the ratification and didn't go through. That's just kind of an odd one. That seems like that's something rather obvious. And I guess it's just a statement that the status quo is just starting to get the I want to say, what's not momentum? What's the opposite of momentum? Testing my physics, pull it back. Inertia. Inertia is the opposite of momentum. Something that's been the same way for a long time has inertia. It's really, really, really hard to get it moving. The energy that it takes to get something moving from a resting state is much more than it takes to slide the thing along once it's moving, typically. And I guess, I don't know, my point must have been wrapped up in that somewhere. But anyway, so let me get back to that other thing, the original thing I was going to talk about that I put off. I've been looking at these, a number of Facebook posts about the way men relate to women and the way men should relate to women. There's some of my Facebook friends are, let me be very careful with the way I state this. There's a lot of discussion about what is called rape culture, which is basically that rape is, that images of rape, maybe not rape itself, but images of rape and conversation about rape that make light of it are acceptable in our culture as sort of a boys thing. But I was looking at, I wanted to see something that was, this is what attracted me. I was looking at a few of them, and this is a friend of mine, a different friend of mine than the other one who had posted this sort of graphical post. It's not graphic. Graphic is sort of taken as meaning, you know, blood and guts. Graphical meaning comprised of graphics. And this one isn't just, this has the text, but it isn't just the text. It has an image. It's a woman in silhouette. Walking away from us, it looks like she's on a beach. She's walking into the sun, and it's a nice, sort of beautiful. I don't want to say it's serene but energetic at the same time, and lots of comforting sort of browns and yellows in it. And here's the text. The text. She's on the woman's figure is on the right side of the frame. This text goes down the left side of the frame. It says, "Dear God, enlighten what's dark in me, strengthen what's weak in me, mend what's broken in me, bind what's bruised in me, heal what's sick in me, and lastly, revive whatever peace and love has died in me." And then here's where they lose me. The last line is they type amen if this is your prayer, because I'm very much against evangelism of all kinds. And that's almost, I guess it's not quite as bad as saying, 97% of people won't share this, but so you'd better. You're the kind of Facebook bullying that goes on. So I don't like that last line, but the rest of it is good. And I'm sort of wondering who's the voice in it. Is it supposed to be the woman who's saying this, or is it her man who's somewhere not in the picture? And the reason I speculate is the site that it comes from is called Man Up God's Way Photo. So I had to look a little bit further into Man Up God's Way, And I'm what I'm doing right now is I'm paging backward through the posts. And let's see, I'm pick up something interesting. Okay, this is a graphical post made to look like a handwriting on blue line notebook paper, you know, the white with the blue lines that you get in school. It says, everybody thinks I'm crazy. They say, you take the Jesus thing too seriously. Well, I don't know, but Christ took me pretty seriously when he died for me on the cross. Well, that's sweet. I don't know. I'm not making light of people's deeply held beliefs. What I'm making light of is the idea that writing something like that is going to change somebody's mind. You died for me. Well, you know, you believe that. I don't. Let's see. Looking. Okay, here I found the first occurrence of white Jesus on here. White Jesus is, of course, a westernized image of Jesus Christ. Because as described in the Bible, Jesus Christ, of course, is Jewish, a Semitic man who lived in the Middle East his entire life. His physical characteristics would not be the same as someone who had lived in Europe or the United States for that whole life. And yet the vast majority of the representations of Christ are these white guys. And often they have flowing blonde hair, which makes no sense at all. And this guy's got kind of an orange robe. Oh, and there are chemtrails in the sky behind him. It says, type amen if Jesus can lift you out of any situation. I guess according to the book, he can. Let's see. A grown man is so secure with himself, he will go flip burgers to make sure his baby can eat. Okay. Makes you a man is not the ability to have a child, but the courage to raise one. I think I might edit that to say what makes you a man is not the ability to make a child, but the courage to raise one, because I know of no man that's ever had a child. I guess there was one that they did some implanting in, but Faith Book from the same font and color scheme as Facebook. Jesus wants to put you in his book. Do you accept? Okay, now that's getting a little bit into that thing I was talking about before. Man up. See, this is trying to tell me how to live, I guess, was going to be my point. Like every second or third picture is a man up t-shirt that they're trying to sell me. I don't disagree with any of the sentiments that are being expressed here. I disagree with the way they're saying them, with the sort of the implication that I am less than, you know, that somehow they have claimed the people who make this site have claimed the moral authority to tell me how to live, and I simply don't accept that. And you shouldn't either, he said. We lift up our, dear God, we lift up our families all over the world that need to be healed and transformed by your light. Let the King of Glory flood their hearts with your love. In Jesus' name, amen. Say amen if this is your prayer. There it is. They're poking you. You agree, right? You agree, right? The implication is you better. A lot of that on here. There's something I thought I had seen. Here's another white Jesus. There's another white Jesus. That one's on a statue, so it's hard to tell if he's actually a white Jesus. Lots of merch. I guess you got to make the money somehow. Now, I was certain that the last time I was on here, I saw a lot of Duck Dynasty material. I'm not seeing it now. So maybe I was someplace else. There's a cell phone with a picture of white Jesus on it saying, will you answer his call? It's a picture of a lion. I have a friend who's into lions. I should save that for him. A couple more white Jesuses. I am not seeing Phil, and I was quite sure last time I was here I saw him. Here we go. Real men stand up for Jesus. That's a fact, Jack, with the Duck Dynasty guys. I love God. Do you? Yes or no? I hope I'm not seeming too cynical. I hope I've been clear about why I object to these kind of expressions. And it's God has a purpose for your pain, a reason for your struggle, and a gift for your faithfulness. Don't give up. Kind of dovetails a little bit into Karl Marx's quote about opiate of the masses. I am praying America turns to God. Will you join me? Share if so. Thank you. Turn to God. I have a couple of friends who are into that thing. That all of our problems, their problems don't have anything to do with the victimization that happens through unrestrained capitalism. It's because we have turned away from God. I love my wife. I heart my wife t-shirt. Tim Tebow. I put the stud in Bible study, a picture of Tim Tebow. I don't think he was behind that. I think someone else was. I love my I heart my husband t-shirt. I heart my wife because there's only one, and I'm, a male and a female, and there's only one kind of acceptable relationship. Am I reading too much into this, you think? I don't think so. There's definite attitude, which is fine. I don't mind the content if this is what you believe. It's what you believe. It's the evangelism. I am not ashamed of Jesus Christ. Share if you're not ashamed. I don't want to be seeming to attack. See, that's what I'm opening myself up to is why are you attacking Christians? I don't think or Christianity. I don't think I'm attacking Christians or Christianity. I'm attacking a methodology. There was a post mocking Justin Bieber, so I thought I can probably get behind that. Aren't you so excited that you tuned in tonight so you could listen to me surf Facebook? Are you? Oh, here we go. Are you full of lust? Let there be no sexual immorality, impurity, or greed among you. Such sins have no place among God's people. Obscene stories, foolish talk, and coarse jokes, these are not for you. Instead, let there be thankfulness to God. Ephesians 5:3-4, NLT, that must be the version, and probably stands for new. I'm not sure what the LT is. So, I mean, no fun. It's, I don't know. Lust is, that goes back to the old 1984 question about why the government was so interested in that book, in the George Orwell book, why the government was so interested in killing the sexual instinct. And the character Julia suggested it was because when you're having sex, you're not thinking about them. And the government, the totalitarian government, wants you always thinking about them. Well, maybe one reason that the church is so interested in sex is because when you're having sex, you're not thinking about them. Warning, people who follow Jesus may suffer persecution and death. Like plus share if you follow him. I'm down to a minute, so you're about to be excused from this torture. Tune in next week, and I will try to have something more interesting to talk about besides a Facebook post. This was Man Up God's Way is the Facebook page. It's a religious organization from Eureka, Missouri. If you're interested in knowing more about it or looking at what I'm looking at and making your own judgment. Next week, I don't know. You can write me mudtoesasquatch@gmail.com and make suggestions. I will certainly look. But in any case, I will be here next week and I hope you join me. Bye now.